920 KVEC and FM 96.5. I'm Kurt Olson, and this is Hometown Radio with Dave Congleton.
All right, Kurt Olson, thank you very much. Stick around during the 6 o'clock hour. Talk about the National Rifle Association. They announced this week they're going to sue San Francisco because the city wants to label them as a domestic terrorist organization. Whatever. We are talking with Dr. Sam Blakeslee and Kara Woodruff, getting their perspective about the future of the Diablo Canyon nuclear power plant. I don't know, just listening to them, I would say it's not much. We welcome your phone calls from my guests. Very pleased to have them here. 805-543-8830, 800-549-5832. But, Kara, let me come back to you because Pete said in his phone call about the economic impacts.
Yeah, this is a big
There are
issue.
Consequences.
There are. So let's talk quickly, if I could, do a lay of the land so people know what we're talking about, because it's kind of confusing. So the plant itself is located on what we call Parcel P. That's 700 acres. And on that 700 acres are the reactors, the nuclear storage facilities, the pools, all the parking lots, all the administrative buildings, et cetera. It's the footprint of the entire plant. Right. And then beyond that, to the north, there's the North Ranch, very large piece of land between Parcel P and Montana de Oro. And to the south is the South Ranch. And then further south and to the east is Wild Cherry Canyon. So when you talk about the Diablo lands, when you hear 12,000 acres, it's all that acreage, but not including Parcel P. Parcel P is where all the facilities are. And therein lies a really good question about what about Parcel P? Let's say the Diablo lands of 12,000 acres, but on Parcel P, which is already pretty impacted, can we bring in other economic engines to support our local economy? And Tom Jones of PG&E has this great analogy. When you have a mall, you need to have kind of an anchor entity, and then you can have smaller shops like a yogurt shop. So you need to have a Nordstrom, and then you have smaller shops. So I think there has been relatively interesting proposals about what those smaller operations might be. Like, for example, the Pacific Wildlife here has expressed an interest in using some of the facilities to do some of their wildlife rehabilitation. But you still need to promote the effective use of that land in our economy. You need something rather large. You need like an anchor. And that is going to be the topic of our next Diablo Canyon engagement panel meeting. So on October 17th, which is a Wednesday at 1:30 till 5, we're going to co-host a community meeting with the Hourglass Project. And the sole purpose of that meeting is to explore options for development, reuse of facilities, economic promotion of Parcel P in those existing facilities.
Let's take another call. We've got Diane in San Luis on KVEC. Hi, Diane.
Hi, Dave. How you doing?
I'm great. Diane, how are you?
Hi,
well,
Diane.
Well, I wanted to talk to my son and my former daughter-in-law.
They're right here.
A topic they seem to be agreeing on.
Hi,
okay?
Diane.
They're right here.
Hi. Okay, so with PG&E closure, we're losing a lot of employees and their income. And to try and replace the tax loss, the county and local governments are trying to authorize a lot of new homes and building projects, which are, in my estimation, diminishing the lovely attributes of this lovely community. Now, they're also taking over a lot of ag land. And I'm just wondering, with the fact that Yosemite is poised to blow up, which is going to boomerang on the earthquake faults to the west, and we're all going to be in the ocean. Why the heck should we close Diablo?
Sam, would you like to discuss this with your mother?
Yeah, let's go to Sam.
Yeah, so I'm not sure there's a lot of pieces in that question.
I wasn't sure. I wasn't worried Yosemite was going to blow up.
Yeah. So I always agree with my mother.
Very good.
So I think she's exactly right on every point. And but I will say this: one of the wonderful things about Montana de Oro, the Hearst conservation deal, the beautiful area you have in Estero Bay, and the potential addition of the Diablo Canyonlands, or we are poised to become the premier coastal area in the nation. We are potentially going to be home to a location which will drive jobs in one of the areas that is the cleanest and allows us to continue to maintain open space, and that is through tourism. Right. Tremendous opportunity to bring people to our community because we have these natural resources that are gone everywhere else.
But it's not like the two of you are the deciders, if I may.
We are not.
The decision has been made.
The decision has been made about closing the plant. Yeah. But the decision hasn't been made about what the future holds.
Right.
And we have some great opportunity there. I think with the Diablo lands, you have the opportunity for recreation and tourism. And with Parcel P, you may have some other opportunities.
What else, Diane?
Oh, that's all. I just wanted to throw that out there as a thing to think about.
All right.
On Parcel P, I'll maybe add a little more to the mix here. And Kara talked about it as sort of an anchor tenant at the mall. There is a lot of discussion about what can be done with the 500 kV lines that are currently serving a 2,280 megawatt generating facility. And at Cal Poly, we've done quite a bit of research on marine renewables, including wind and wave energy in California. And it's becoming abundantly clear that technology is emerging now to station floating wind in very deep waters, many miles offshore California, that could potentially bring power straight into Diablo and then help resource the state and meet its 60% renewable goal by 2040.
All right, Diane, thanks very much for calling in. 805-543-8830, 800-549-5832 for Sam Blakeslee and Kara Woodruff. Welcome your phone calls as we talk about Diablo Canyon. And Kurt is going to give me the next call, and we're going to say hi to Gene on KVEC. Hi, Gene.
Hey, yeah. Talking about trains, it sounds like we just heard that the County of Seoul will be the agreed to be the lead agency for the decommissioning.
Yeah.
Well, it turns out that my question is, why was the County of San Luis Obispo derelict in failing to follow the mandates of the Coastal Act? A change of intensity of use in the coastal zone by a power plant requires a coastal development permit from the lead agency, which is the County of San Luis Obispo. It requires properly noticed public hearings and a full scope EIR with a no project alternative included. And so it turns out I'm the legal assistant for California's for Green Nuclear Power, one of the proponents of ACA 18, and we're in legal discussions with California Coastal Commission for the county failing to follow these mandates.
Hang on, Jane.
Well, just a quick comment. Great question. Probably the county is better served at answering that question. But Trevor, the director of planning, also serves on the engagement panel. And maybe he can be asked to address some of those issues at the next meeting on October 17th.
That's a delay for failing to follow the law.
I'm not in charge of the county, unfortunately, if I were.
I might have some changes, but I don't know if I can answer for the county, unfortunately. All right, Gene, thank you. We got Ken in Atascadero on KVEC. Hi, Ken.
Hey, Dave.
Hey, Ken.
Hey, you know, there's somewhere between 200,000 and 300,000 middle-class families leaving California every year because of the cost of housing.
Right.
So I'm thinking we should develop that land, build houses on it. Do something about the affordability crisis. We keep talking about, what are we going to do about the affordability crisis? No one can afford to live here. Why don't we develop land like that? I think that'd be huge.
Hey, Ken, I got a quick question for you. How many houses do you want to put in Yosemite? I said I have a quick question for you. How many houses do you want to put in Yosemite? Just
well,
asking.
What I would say is, on the decommissioning engagement panel, we had a number of workshops about land use of the Diablo lands, and we had two full days of workshops plus a public hearing. And we received thousands of comments about what the community envisioned for the future of this land. And we received back many, many comments, and it was almost unanimous in that everybody that seemed to speak on it said they wanted to see the Diablo Canyon lands conserved, but that the development would be more appropriately placed on Parcel P. And so that became part of the strategic vision that was published by the engagement panel, because it really is a reflection of a large community voice. I'd also say go back again to the Dream Initiative. It was on the ballot almost 20 years ago, and the county was asked, should we seek the conservation of these lands after the plant closes? And 75% of the voters said that's what they wanted. So I think that's what we're hearing.
Ken?
Oh, who was it that asked me about building houses in Yosemite?
That was Sam.
Sam. Hey, Sam, I got an idea. Let's tear down your house and build a park.
All right, Ken. Thank you. 805-543-8830. 800-549-5832. Scott is in Cambria on KVEC. Hi, Scott.
Hi, Dave. Hi, Sam.
Hi.
You guys are talking about the wave generation for power and the wind generation out on the ocean?
Yes.
Yes.
How do they get that power back to the Diablo? With cables going down?
That's correct. You'd have to lay ocean cables. That's correct. And there would be a fair amount of permitting involved.
Yes, because they shut down the fishermen, the crab season, 3 months early because they didn't want the whales to get caught up in their crab traps. So how's that going to work?
That is one of the challenges that has yet to be addressed. There's been a lot of work on the, I think it's 21 different agencies that would be required to issue various permits. And no one has ever tried to put marine renewables out off of California. There's a joint task force that was constituted about 3 years ago of virtually all the state and federal agencies to try and answer this very question to determine how do you even tackle a problem of the scale. So, Scott, you're right that this is not a simple turnkey problem that's solved simply by someone saying it'll happen. There's a lot of work ahead. I agree.
Yeah, because they won't be able to go out there and pull the cables up like they can pull their traps up. So, I mean, you know, things kind of two-sided there.
Fair enough.
I'm for the crab fishermen. So, okay.
All right.
The other issue...
We're all for the fishermen.
Well, definitely. The other issue with the wind farms is that the Navy thus far hasn't been too keen on this proposal. So there's significant obstacles that lie ahead, and it may not be possible.
Which proposal?
To put windmills off the shore of Diablo Canyon Lakes.
We've got Kara Woodruff and Sam Blakesley taking your phone calls. Jeff calls in now on KVEC. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, good afternoon.
Hi, Jeff.
Yeah, I heard Sam mention... something regarding PG&E buying the land a long time ago, but I've heard stories over the years that the family that originally owned that land had some type of loan with PG&E. And
that's right.
I guess they got behind on their payments and PG&E foreclosed on that property that's worth billions of dollars.
Yeah, so
they only owe like $2 million or something. Is that true?
That's it's complicated, but that's in a nutshell, that's accurate. The Murray family... had owned that land for generations. Luigi Murray, I think it was, back in the 1800s, was the first landowner, some Spanish land grant, no doubt. I remember meeting and talking with Harold Miosi, who's dearly departed, wonderful man, lived up there in Cuesta Grade.
Yep.
And when I was working to author the Dream Initiative, I sought his counsel. He had a lot of old pictures of the Diablo Canyon lands because when he was a kid, he would do cattle drives with the Murray family and bring the cattle in off the Pecho Coast. So you're correct. There was a very complicated history of land transactions with the Murray family. There were loans that were defaulted on. There was a bankruptcy proceeding. And if I remember correctly, both a lease and a fee title was entangled up in these bankruptcy proceedings on the South Ranch. So you're talking right now about the South Ranch. The North Ranch, which had been owned by the Fields family, was also in some financial distress, if I remember my history correctly, and purchased in the 1986-1987 time frame by PG&E. And it might have been for $8 million. I haven't seen those numbers for many years, but that's my recollection.
What else, Jeff?
Well, that's it. I just thought that maybe the family that originally owned it, maybe they could... have some say, or maybe PG&E would be gracious enough to give them a deal since they got that property for a few million bucks.
Yeah. All right, Jeff. Billions. Thank you for calling in. We've got Sherry up in San Miguel on KVEC. Hi, Sherry.
Hi, Dave.
Hi, Sherry.
Hey, I just, from what I read about this amendment, I mean, if it could help save Diablo, that would be great. But I don't think that was the point. I think what Assemblyman Cunningham was looking for was to make or add nuclear to the list of renewables so that it could be used as, you know, another carbon-free source of energy. From what I read, that was the deal. If it could save Diablo, then that'd be extra added bonus. But I don't think that was the point.
Well, so my read of it was the hope would be that would increase the economic value of the electrons that would be flowing from the facility, which by inference would make it more desirable to potentially be
purchased
or, you know, yeah, continue in production.
Yeah.
It's very hard to change what's in the renewable portfolio standard. I wrote a bill when I served in that capacity that was ultimately passed by the legislature and signed by the governor to change the renewable portfolio standard in a very minor way. And it dealt with hydroelectric power. And what's ironic, I remember being in committee presenting my bill with fierce opposition, and the opposition rallied around the idea that if the legislature says yes to this small amendment I was seeking, the next thing that would happen is Diablo and San Onofre would be declared renewable. It's quite ironic that a dozen years later that that's the debate that's occurring.
Sherry, anything else you want to say?
No, that's just the point I wanted to make. But thanks for your comments.
Sherry, thanks for the call. We go to Rod in Pismo on KVEC. Hi, Rod.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Well, it's a little late to the conversation. My question is, it's really kind of a basic, dumb question, I guess. My question is, when you get notices on your phone about turning down your power or back off your use of power during high times, that's with Diablo Canyon on duty. What are you going to do when you take it out? Why are they going to do that? And then now we have to cut back with Diablo at certain times when there's a high demand in the winter and sometimes in the summer, and they're going to turn it off eventually. Yeah. Where's all that power? It's got a lot of power. Where are they going to get it from?
So, Rod, the energy markets are changing very dramatically and rapidly. It's interesting if you look at how energy was developed deployed around the state 20 years ago. The ISO, the independent service operator, would turn on and off power as needed. And Diablo Canyon was run 24/7. It was called baseload. It just always ran. And then other forms of energy were stacked on top as needed. And renewables were seen as a very small component. I think as maybe it was Peter who said previously, that gas-fired generation was used to infill the holes. We now have a completely different energy mix, and it's causing enormous problems. And the issue is that we have what's known as the duck curve, huge amounts of solar power being generated when it's not needed, and we're actually having to pay other states to take it. So we have an energy mess. There's no problem. And the state's frantically trying to rebuild its deployment system to deal with this challenge.
All right, Rod, thank you. Last call goes to Mark in San Luis. Hi, Mark.
Hi, great show. Hi. You know, I don't think you're ever going to put a windmill or a wave farm in Morro Bay. That's a national estuary. Let me ask the guest, have you guys ever been next to a windmill? Have you ever stood underneath a windmill within 5 feet?
I've certainly driven by them. But
yeah,
no,
Mark,
I don't think
Mark, I have.
Close.
I think the proposals I've seen are talking about placing them 30 or 40 miles offshore. I don't know if that was clear.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
I just being next to a windmill is a good place to study bird anatomy, okay? Because it chops up birds. And I'll tell you, the first time you kill a snowy plover, a pelican, or one of the wave machine takes out a baby otter in a national estuary, I really think, you know, it sounds good.
But if I may, I just got back from New England, and there were windmills everywhere, and they seem to be doing just fine.
They do fine, Dave, but there's a certain amount of bird loss with windmills. Trust me, I know somebody who just did a study on how many bats were going to be acceptably killed when they put up windmills.
Right.
Okay?
All right. We'll pursue it.
So,
all right, Mark. Point taken.
Well, I think Mark's point is fair, is that there is no impact-free solution. And for anyone who pretends that solar or wind or nuclear or natural gas is the ultimate solution is probably not accepting the reality that we've got impacts and they need to be mitigated.
Mark, thank you. Off the Stolberg Law KVC text line, I'll edit this down. Diablo Canyon Nuclear Power Plant, that land and coastline is stunningly beautiful, equal to Yosemite. Developing the site for housing is lunacy.
That's what we heard on the Diablo Canyon engagement panel. And I just wanted to bring our discussion back to an important point. We are on the eve of a massive project to dismantle this huge infrastructure of Diablo Canyon. It is going to be a burden for this community. We talked about the trucks. We also have to think about management of this spent nuclear fuel for decades to come. And I think we really need to think about, if we have this great burden, there's also an opportunity. And if the opportunity, after is all is said and done, we have this 12,000-acre, beautiful outdoor recreational area that can be great for wildlife and terrific for this community and also provide some economic benefits. That, to me, is a really exciting part. And what's really interesting now, as we've talked about, is this is in the hands of the local supervisors. It gets down to about five people, either the current supervisors or people who happen to come after them. But we need to think as a community to encourage our supervisors to take the right steps today to really have a vision for the future. It's a reflection of what the community wants, and it really creates such a fantastic opportunity. I hope that that's what we can focus on as this community.
We will come back and get final thoughts from Kara Woodruff and Dr. Sam Blakesley. First, with pleasure, I remind you that today's edition of Hometown Radio is sponsored in part by your hometown grocery store, Spencer's Fresh Markets in Morro Bay and Santa Maria.
On News Talk 920 and FM 96.5 KVEC.
Thanks to all the callers. We appreciate the participation in this conversation. Thanks, as always, to Dr. Sam Blakesley and for Kara Woodruff for coming in. Sam, a final thought, sir?
Yeah, so, you know, 20 years ago, we had five supervisors who were keenly divided by party and perspective, not to mention geography. And they all came together to support the protection of these lands. I'm just going to call out their names just as a sort of a tribute to them because they deserve it. Supervisor Peg Pinard, Supervisor Shirley Bianchi, Supervisor Mike Ryan, Supervisor Harry Ovett, and Supervisor Kacho Ashagian. And these five individuals came together because they knew that when we reached this point, there would be an opportunity. We're here calling on our current supervisors to stand shoulder to shoulder and do the same.
Kara Woodruff.
Well, since we're naming supervisors, I'd like to name the current supervisors, who are John Pashong, Bruce Gibson, Adam Hill, Lynn Compton, and Debbie Arnold. I hope that those five supervisors can transcend politics just like we did 20 years ago, and they too can support the conservation of the Diablo lands and do all the other things that are right by this community in decommissioning the Diablo Canyon power plant, because it is truly a Herculean task.
All right, folks, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Off we go. News, traffic, weather. Matt Hoy is in the house. Is the NRA really a domestic terrorist organization? Let's talk about it.
AM 920.